The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
No doubt you've heard about this outbreak of meningitis, which continues across Kent in the UK. The latest we had was that there are 27 cases now. This is an unprecedented public health alert which has been issued in the region. There are fears of a further spread. So what is it? What is meningitis? How serious can it be? How contagious is it? I'm joined by Professor of Immunology at DCU, Christine Loscher. Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So this is a really unusual situation, isn't it, that we have this meningitis B spreading in the way that it has amongst this group of young people?
Yeah, it's extremely rare. I think that's really important, just so that people aren't starting to panic a little bit. It's really rare. It's a bacterial infection, so it doesn't spread in the same way as COVID or flu in terms of, you know, respiratory viruses in the air, because it's a bacteria and actually requires close contact. So physical close contact, sharing of vapes, sharing of utensils, sharing of drinks, that kind of thing. So the mode of transmission is very different to what we've been kind of used to in terms of outbreaks. Mm-hmm. The unusual thing about this is the numbers that have presented in a very short space of time. But they do think that's because the origin of the bacteria and where it started to spread was at a nightclub about 10 days ago, which is about the incubation period of the bacteria. So a lot of people seem to have presented that attended that club. And so the infection control is to follow up with close contacts, to start to give antibiotics preventatively to people. And unusually, they've started a targeted vaccine program for anybody in the University of Kent or the surrounding schools. So it's very, very unusual. We would probably have about 20 cases in total per year in Ireland. So this is really, really unusual. And they haven't as yet identified whether there's anything different about this meningitis B bacteria, whether it's mutated in some way that makes it transmit more easily. So we don't have any information on whether it's any different at all at the moment.
And Christine, is it the case that some people are susceptible to it? You know, that this thing could land on me, or I could come in contact with it through close contact, but I don't get meningitis as a result, but somebody else does.
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, so lots of us have things like MRSA in our nasal passages, and we live quite easily with the presence of a bacteria, and it doesn't cause any issue. In the same way, about 1 in 10 people will carry meningitis B bacteria at the back of their throat, and it won't cause them any issue at all. And then sometimes what can happen is if you come in contact with somebody who is a carrier and you haven't been exposed to it and you are exposed to it and starts to cause an infection, the real issue is that it can kind of get through the back of your throat and into the meninges of the brain, which is what causes the meningitis. So it does need physical contact. Lots of us are carriers, and it's completely harmless. There's two times, I suppose, or two periods of time that they've identified which people are more susceptible, which is babies. Now, I think just to make sure everyone's aware, we have a meningitis B vaccine in our childhood vaccine program that starts in 2016. So everybody under the age of 10 is already vaccinated, and they're the highest risk group. So they're vaccinated. And then the teenage population seem to have an increased incidence of it. And that's really put down to the mixing that starts to happen in kind of late teenagers, late teens, early 20s, people going to college, living in close proximity, starting to share drinks at parties, vapes, etc. So that's why there's a higher incidence in that particular age group, is really to do with physical contact. Mm-hmm. But lots of people are carriers, and it doesn't cause any problems. And then it can cause very severe infection, obviously, in some individuals who do come in contact with it.
You see, now, because we have this situation in Kent, and people will be looking at their 11, 12, 13, 14 year olds and go, well, should we be vaccinating that group now?
Yeah, so the vaccine only came out in 2013. It was only approved for use around the world. So it's only a new vaccine. Once it came into use, places like the UK and Ireland rolled it out from 2015, 2016 onwards. And the decisions that were made were really about, you know, cost benefit. So babies are very susceptible. and immunising babies was an absolute priority. The decision, as far as my understanding is at the time, was that because meningitis B is such a rare event in teenagers or older adults, and they can present with symptoms quite early and get antibiotics and you can treat it, it wasn't seen as a cost, kind of wasn't prioritised essentially in the vaccine programme in order to make sure that teenagers were vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why we don't have a catch-up programme for teenagers. But you'll see in Kent, they are rolling out a targeted programme now for vaccination for that age group in the area to try and, I suppose, contain as a measure of infection control and containment. So that's the reason why we're not vaccinated. But it's really important to stress that the most susceptible of our population, which is the babies, they are vaccinated.
Okay. Just to allay fears, Christine, around this, like this is not something, it's not like COVID, as you said at the beginning. It's very unlikely to jump from Kent to Ireland.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely. And I think there has only been one other case reported, I think, in the UK, in London. And I think that that was in a child. It's unlikely to even be connected because the stats in the UK are that they would normally see a case of meningitis B. I mean, their population is so much bigger than ours. So they would always see a case of meningitis B popping up at some stage, you know, maybe a couple of days, a week, throughout the whole year. Whereas for us, it's such a rare event that it ever happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that just to allay kind of panic, it's not like COVID. It's not likely to, it doesn't spread in the same way. And close physical contact is really required. But what I would say is that in terms of the symptoms, they present very like flu symptoms, and we're not in flu season at the moment. Flu is like the incidence of flu is really small at the moment. So anyone who does have flu like symptoms and does have things like a headache or a stiff neck and that kind of resistance to light, those kind of things are classic symptoms of meningitis infection. So those would require somebody to seek medical help. But there are antibiotics, and getting it early is really, really important. But it's unlikely that we're going to experience what's happening in Kent.
Yeah, but I think your point is well made. If you have any of those symptoms, you need to get medical help. You need to get it quickly. If you suspect it's meningitis, as the best doctors say, believe the mammy, believe the daddy, you know, and listen to the parent. Yeah. And if there is an issue, you need to get it sorted and keep banging on the door till you get the help that you need, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think if this is a time of the year when flu and COVID are not the dominant kind of things that are happening in terms of infection. So if you do present with any symptoms, particularly people who've been traveling to England, you know, over the last couple of weeks, people who've been to Kent, those just extra vigilance around those. But it is not the kind of super spreader kind of, you know, situation that we had with COVID. So it's very different, but be very vigilant about symptoms.
Christine, thank you very much. That's Professor Christine Loscher there. Now coming.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.